Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, yeah, we are here on a Monday, solid, conservative, and just plain right. 2:08 p.m. right now, Monday, January the 10th, and Copper's running the board. Hey, Miss Copper.
Hello, how are you?
I am well. How are you? Did you have a good weekend?
I did. Yes. And a good Monday now that I've heard you have good news.
We have good news. We do have good news. So we are almost at 20,100 downloads now on the podcast.
Ooh.
That is way cool. I don't know who to thank, but apparently there's like 20,100 people to thank. So we don't have that many t-shirts, but I think, Copper, what do you think? I think we do t-shirts today. What do you think?
I think so. Good idea.
I agree. 4:30. Just hold your powder for that one, but 4:30, we're going to be giving away t-shirts for folks who are Right Side Ruffians calling in saying they want one. And we got a batch of them, and we'll give those out in celebration of reaching 20,000 downloads of the show. But we got today's show to deal with, so Copper, get that triple dipper sound effect ready, and I'll tell you this, 4 o'clock. Today, State Senator Arthur Orr from right down the road in Decatur, here in our listening area. State Senator Arthur Orr is going to be calling in, talking about the legislative session, which begins tomorrow. All the doings, all the things, all the law, all the spending, all the stuff happens starting tomorrow in Montgomery. So we'll get his perspective on things, see where we are. 4:30 p.m., I told you, we're going to do some t-shirts. We'll open the phone lines and take those then. You can call in about other stuff between now and then, but t-shirts we're holding off till 4:30. But right now, Copper, go ahead and hit that sound effect.
The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right. Three storylines, three themes, three stories that we're going to run with during today's show are this. Number one, I'm just calling this, what are you doing to my army? I mean, what are y'all doing to this man's army? So I got 30 years of uniformed service, my father, my grandfather, I've got family members still in, and I'm looking at it going, wow, what is happening right now? It's amazing to me the things that are being done to, I say, my Army. But nonetheless, we're going to cover down on that. All you guys and ladies out there at and still in green suits at the Redstone Arsenal area, you might want to listen in. Number two, the politics of COVID. The politics of COVID. How do you take a sickness and make it political? Well, they've done it. I mean, even to the point of right now, they're starting to triage people's needs in hospitals in certain places by race. What? How is that possible? Okay, anyway, the politics of COVID, number two on the Triple Dipper for the day. And then number three, you can figure it. Arthur Orr is calling in. We're doing number three is on the Alabama legislative session. What's coming? How are they going to spend $583 billion in federal relief funds? What are they going to do with that? And the Alabama Policy Institute just came out with its conservative platform. We'll talk about that if we get time. All right, that's our triple dipper for the day. But that first one, you know, what are y'all doing to my army? I got to thinking about some stuff over the weekend, and I actually sort of prepared my thoughts for this version of the Right Side Way yesterday afternoon. Have you ever been around an organization where there were unsung heroes? You know the ones I'm talking about, the ones that no one pays much attention to. Their name's not on the sign out front. They aren't the big wigs. They might not even have the best office or even know their way around the boardroom. But when they're gone, you suddenly realize what they meant to the overall function of the team. Well, let me tell you about some folks who I'm aware of that have made that kind of difference. Chaplains. You heard me. Chaplains, military ministers. I've seen a good chaplain keep a unit in fine function even though they had nothing to do with the war fighting or the vehicle maintenance or the medical care. It's true. And even though they are non-combatants, there are chaplains who have been awarded the highest decorations for valor and heroism under fire. Classic example, at Fort Benning, Georgia, even to this day, there's a military parade field called the Field of Four Chaplains. Here's a story on that. In World War II, the USS Dorchester, a ship, was ferrying 902 U.S. soldiers to the war effort in Europe. German U-boats were constantly prowling the vital sea lanes, and several ships had already been sunk. And on one frigid night near the end of its voyage, almost exactly 78 years ago today, a Nazi periscope broke the chilly Atlantic waters at nearly 1 in the morning. And the U-boat fired three torpedoes, one of which hit decisively on the Dorchester below the waterline. The captain had to immediately give the order to abandon ship. Other ships began rushing into the distress call, but aboard the Dorchester, panic and chaos had already set in, and the blast had killed scores of men. Many more were seriously wounded, stunned by the explosion, and were groping around in the darkness. Men were jumping from the ship into lifeboats, overcrowding them to the point of capsizing. Other rafts had been tossed into the Atlantic, but they drifted away before the soldiers could even get into them. So throughout all the pandemonium, though, according to those who were present, four Army chaplains brought hope and despair and light and darkness. Those chaplains were Lieutenant George L. Fox, a Methodist minister, Lieutenant Alexander D. Goode, a Jewish rabbi, Lieutenant John P. Washington, a Roman Catholic priest, and Lieutenant Clark V. Poling, a Dutch Reformed pastor. Quickly and quietly, those four chaplains spread out among the soldiers, and they tried to calm the frightened, tend the wounded, and guide the disoriented to safety. Witnesses remember hearing the four men offering prayers for the dying and encouragement for those who would live. One witness, a Private William Bednar, found himself floating in the oil-smeared water surrounded by dead bodies and debris. He said, "I could hear the men crying and pleading and praying," Bednar recalls. "I could also hear the chaplains preaching courage. Their voices were the only thing that kept me going." Another sailor, a petty officer, John Mahoney, he tried to re-enter his cabin, but Rabbi Goode stopped him, and Mahoney, concerned about the cold Arctic air, tried to explain to the rabbi he had forgotten his gloves. "Never mind," Rabbi Goode responded, "I have two pair." And the rabbi then gave the petty officer his own gloves. And later, in retrospect, Mahoney realized Rabbi Goode was not conveniently carrying two pairs of gloves. The rabbi had just decided not to leave the ship and gave away his gloves to someone who needed them. By this time, most of the men were topside. The chaplains opened up a storage locker and began distributing life jackets. And the ship's engineer, Grady Clark, told later how he witnessed the amazing moment when there were no more life jackets in the storage room to give out. So the chaplains calmly removed their own and gave them to four frightened young men. And when giving their life jackets, Rabbi Goode did not call out for a Jew, and Father Washington did not call out for a Catholic, and Reverends Fox and Poling did not call out for Protestants. They simply gave their life jackets to the next man in line. And as the ship went down, survivors in nearby rafts could see the four chaplains, arms linked and braced against the slanting deck, and their voices could also be heard offering up prayers together. Of the 902 men aboard the Dorchester, 672 died. And when the news reached American shores, the nation was stunned by the magnitude of the tragedy, but also by the heroic conduct of these four chaplains. Reverend Fox, Rabbi Goode, Reverend Poling, and Father Washington became an enduring example of extraordinary faith and courage and selflessness. Each of those men were posthumously awarded the Distinguished Service Cross, second only to the Medal of Honor. And they all four got the Purple Heart. It's an amazing story. Four men who were not headed to Europe to kill the enemy, but who were nonetheless crucial to the vitality of the units they served. Well, listen, I had occasions in the war zone myself to interact with several chaplains, good and bad. Let me give you a brief story. I'll wrap this up with what I call a tale of two chaplains. When I first arrived in Baghdad, my team was attached to an infantry battalion in central Baghdad under the 1st Brigade of the 1st Armored Division. That unit had been at war for 6 to 7 months before I arrived. They had a chaplain, a young lieutenant who did not even appreciate his own role. He stayed in his room most of the time. I'm unaware of any counseling or comfort that he ever provided. I'll never forget, on Easter morning, I made my way over to the little chapel room. It only sat about 15 to 20, but only three of us even showed up. But someone still had to go find the chaplain and tell him that we were actually there. He came running in late for the Easter service and apologized. In his own words, he really didn't think anyone was going to show up. He didn't even have an Easter message prepared. It was apparent to me that his role in the unit was a complete non-issue. He added no value, but mostly because he had abdicated his own opportunities. He did not understand the value of what he could provide. Well, the 1st Armored rolled out and were backfilled by the 1st Cavalry Division. My team remained in place and picked up a new host unit, an infantry battalion out of Oregon. Some of the finest men I've ever served with, and they also had a chaplain. He was a man who was everywhere. Every time I went to the chow hall, he was off to the side having coffee with the troops. He went on patrols with the men. He held weekly services where literally the room was sometimes at capacity with up to 100 in attendance at church services and troops sharing the load by leading the music, playing the instruments, and reading scriptures. He baptized a number of men right there in central Baghdad at our FOB. I remember one of those men, Specialist Johnson. He made a decision to become a Christian due to the results of this chaplain's ministry. He was baptized by the chaplain, and he died the next week in an IED attack. The chaplain was right there, though, comforting the troops and standing in the gap for them. That man made such a difference. That unit was more combat effective because of him. I know it. I was there. I saw it firsthand. My point, friends, is this. Those chaplains do an amazing role, but I say it all because I want you to understand you should never underestimate the value of your role in the big picture. Never. You may not be the star of the show or the leader of the pack, but the mission is better off because you do your part with excellence. Every vote counts, every word matters, every file, every email, every word, every act of kindness, every extra minute, every greeting. You have no idea what God might do with it. The team matters, and you matter to the team. So get her done, Right Side Ruffians. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. All right, well, I call that one A Tale of Two Chaplains. You can download stuff like that, by the way. When I do the Right Side Way every day, they are up again the next day, by the next day, sometimes the same day, on the website, rightsideradio.org. You can download them in podcasts. But I'm telling you right now, I've watched chaplains make a difference, but what strikes me most is they are not the reason why the unit exists, but they exist for the unit, and they make a difference if they do their job right, but they have to first understand the value of what they bring. Same is true for all of us. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We will be right back.